Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
It's the Round All Rock Podcast, starring Dave Schilling, Elijah Millsap, Andre Ingram, Joey Devine, Ronaldo Major, Justin Detman, Sean Keen, Vander Blue, David Stockton, his dad hates vaccines, Patreons, Sahar224, thank you, Sahar224, Mitch Thunderstrike, thank Mr. Thunderstrike, Daniel, thank you, Daniel, musical guest, Ringo Starr, and his all-star band, and now the temporary host of Round Ball Rock, Joey Devine!
Hi, it's me, Joey Devine, your temporary host of the Round Ball Rock podcast, and I am here with a brand new episode with my friend, Sean Keen, co-host, Uncle Dad. Sorry, I was doing something because I have a surprise for you, Sean, that was taking a second.
Great,
that's
great,
why
no
I
problem.
Messed up your intro. First off, how you doing?
I'm good. As America's Uncle Dad, I did actually spend the day with my nephew.
How'd that go? Did you do a lot of cleaning? He likes.
That's fine. He's a baby.
Oh, that happened.
Wrong one. That nephew was vacuuming last night, mm-hmm. and we made up a really good game where. I wear a hat,
mm-hmm.
and then I sit on the couch, and he sneaks up behind me and takes my hat, and then acts like he didn't take the hat,
mm-hmm.
and then I put on a different hat and pretend like that was the hat I forgot,
mm.
and then he steals that hat.
Sounds like a game
with it's
a lot of comics used to play in the green room of a comedy venue we used to play, attend a lot. Hats. The green
that was
had
full of hats.
Thousands
this was...
of hats on the wall.
Yeah. The only difference was I never took DJ Reel and threw him up in the air mm-hmm. and caught him like 8 times in a row saying, "Why'd you take my hat?"
DJ Reel would like
and
that.
And then saying,
though.
"Oof," pretending he knocked the wind down. He would like that. That's kind of his style.
Listeners, listen, check out DJ Reel, our friend. We like DJ Reel a lot.
Yeah, he pulls.
Hold on. Sean, Don Pardo mentioned Ringo Starr.
He did.
Which means I'm obligated to play something here.
Uh-huh.
This is a serious message to everybody watching my update right now. Peace and love, peace and love. I want to tell you, please, after the 20th of October, do not send fan mail to any address that you have. Nothing will be signed after the 20th of October. If that has a date on the envelope, it's going to be tossed. I'm warning you with peace and love, but I have too much to do. So no more fan mail. Thank you, thank you. And no objects to be signed. Nothing. Anyway, peace and love, peace and love.
Peace and love, Sean. Peace and love. What were you going to say before I rudely interrupted
you
with that?
Look, he seems really busy. He's doing a lot of stuff.
Right? He's warning you with peace and love.
That's the thing. He's warned me with peace and love, which is a bit of a... Like, don't threaten me with a good time, Ringo. Mm-hmm.
Sean, you like the Beatles. How are you enjoying the renaissance we're having of Beatles takes 24/7?
I mean, it's weird that people like have been saving them up. my takes are mostly about like new things. Sure. Look, I have been kind of anti Yoko, I would say, mm-hmm. for a while. I don't blame Yoko for breaking up the Beatles. In this, you know, it's kind of weird that she's there, but she's just like reading a book.
But
like,
those Hare Krishnas are way worse. That was
the thing that like at first I'm like, oh, is Yoko there? Is that going to be a big deal? And then suddenly there's like a white Hare Krishna hanging out in the corner, and yeah. I'm like, well, that's much worse. Everyone else there is ostensibly
one of them looks
doing a
so
job.
Much like
we're talking about Get Back, by the way.
One of them looks so much like Michael Rapaport from Higher Learning too. It's disturbing.
That's incredible. I like how much they seem to hate the director. Mm-hmm. Like right away they're like, oh, you can't get the audible dialogue. Oh, is that the problem? Is that what we need? look, man, I understand why Paul McCartney is annoying everybody so much, but also I realized I've gotten old enough because I'm watching that and I'm like, yeah, you guys should be learning these songs. Like, you have 12 days to do this TV special. Like, get there before noon, John. Come on, man. Stop doing it. Although I am enjoying John, even though I'm kind of anti-John.
I've watched about 3 hours of the Beatles documentary.
I watched the first one only.
I will say it led me to ask you.
Uh-huh.
I mean, well, it didn't lead me. We have a reader mail question about the Beatles.
About
that Beatles documentary. Hold on.
Sean, we'll do some business, but I want to get a reader mail question out of the way real quick before we do business, so.
This is Round Ball Rock Reader Mail. Communications from listeners. Why do we call it reader mail? It is confusing for robots.
So our first piece of reader mail comes from Joey in Los Angeles, and he asks, hey, Sean and Joey, if you could watch any 6-hour-long documentary about any NBA team, who would it be?
Oh, man. I mean, I think I would probably pick an ABA team, but... like just 6 hours of Marvin Barnes, but yeah. Okay, any NBA team.
I mean, I guess it also should have like a time limit, you know, like this does.
Yeah,
right?
like a
14 well, like, day period.
Uh-huh.
Where it's just cameras fly on the wall, Peter Jackson's edited.
So he hasn't edited at all?
Yeah.
Or like
yeah.
somehow he took 6 hours of footage and made it 7.5?
Mm-hmm, sure.
Okay. God, what basketball team would I'm trying to think like... I mean, I think I would probably pick like a Jailblazers year. Mm-hmm. And I would want to... Because the single thing I think I want to see the most is that fight between the Blazers Korean center where he's like swinging like a big 2x4 mm-hmm. at a different 7-footer. And I feel like whatever 14-day period, watching Rasheed Wallace unhappily smoking weed all the time at like mm-hmm. fan events would be really entertaining. And like, I don't really care if they're winning at basketball. Like, I feel like there's not that much of a mystery. I mainly want to see that fight and Rasheed, I think. Mm-hmm. And then I guess my second choice would be the at some stretch of the playoffs with the 2001 Philadelphia 76ers.
Because
Iverson and Mutombo.
I have a funnier answer. Those are good answers.
But I mean, I know Joey from Los Angeles wrote that question. Sorry. But yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. I want those 14 days in the 2011 Detroit Pistons that revolted against John Keister.
Oh, man. That would be a bummer, though. That revolt was like one day.
I think that would bum me out. What led up to it?
Our friend Megan's dad treated like that? She will never listen to this podcast.
Because that roster...
I actually am not really sure who's on that team.
Okay. It's Will Bynum.
Okay.
It's Austin Day.
Okay. These guys are not selling it for me.
but it's a very specific threesome is, okay. It's Rip Hamilton, of course. Tracy McGrady, who had like joined the team the week before, helped lead the Detroit Pistons revolt. But also Ben Gordon, of course, and Charlie Villanueva.
Ben Gordon is selling it for me. I will say.
I've just always sort of been obsessed with Tracy McGrady, like showing up and being like, "Hey, fuck this guy, I'm with you."
Fuck this guy. Well, then he just got fired, right?
Yeah.
Joe Dumars had to whip out a third phone for that revolt. Man, I think I would also just like to see. Maybe that stretch for the Lakers with where Magic gets Paul Westhead fired.
Mm-hmm.
But also because I'm just so curious about like how coked out was everybody? Like, what was Magic Johnson actually walking around parties at his house being like, "You guys need to start fucking." You know what I mean? Like, because that seems to be the story, but that seems so weird. But also, I kind of now that I'm more familiar with Magic Johnson on Twitter, those stories about him being like a party guy makes me think that all of his statements were very much like he tweets, where he's just like, "Wow, Michael Cooper is fucking two women in AC Green's room." Congratulations.
So I should mention for those of you that don't, for those listeners that don't understand the John Keister Pistons revolt.
Oh, yeah.
What happened was John Keister benched Rip Hamilton, and it caused a revolt within the Pistons because he didn't communicate it to Rip Hamilton. And then all his vets were mad at him. So in response to that, he benched all of them and just played six guys in one game. That was his, like, way to stick it to the vets, which involved, I think, playing Will Bynum 48 minutes. But he also got ejected from that game, and Tracy McGrady, Ben Wallace, and Rodney Stuckey were caught laughing on camera as he was kicked out of the game.
I have no idea how you pronounce his name, by the way.
Yeah. Cooster? Keister? Anyway.
I don't know.
Anyway, that's what I would like to see. Anyway, some business.
Stephen A. Smith has a big column about how they blew the CBA negotiation with that. Yeah, Rip Hamilton and Chris Wilcox were fined for missing the shoot around. Austin Day showed up late.
He played in all six fairness, guys. Some, either way, he played in all six fairness, guys some and then had a shoot around.
Yeah, they hated that coach. And somehow Jim Boylan was not the least popular Midwestern coach.
All right, some business off top before we get to the rest of our show. RoundRockPod @gmail.com is our email. @RoundRockPod is our Twitter. Call us on the phone at the description in the episode. Patreon.com/RoundRockPod. Where, Sean, what did you put up today?
I put up a podcast of, it's called the Kendall Roy Gambling Podcast. Mm-hmm. I got Kendall Roy, the disgraced son of the Roy family, and he actually just picked basketball games. It's pretty good.
It's very funny. And then Monday, we're debuting our new episode. We've recorded it already. A new episode of our new mini podcast for our Patreons. A Room with the News, an Aaron Sorkin's Newsroom podcast.
Yeah. We're also going to have, we're recording this weekend, a Jack Reacher trailer reaction podcast with Jack Reacher expert Damon Agnos, a friend of the show, a photoshopper of Nate Duncan and Danny LaRue. And almost said the other name, and it's going to be a second episode of Shaq in a Podcast, because we learned that Shaq's reality show, Shaq Life, premiered tonight. So we gotta check that out.
Well, there was a special presentation of where you're
going. I definitely watched that. I believe that special presentation was only one of the episodes that they showed tonight.
I just had an idea for a podcast, a set of mini podcasts I might put up. We'll see, where I review restaurants Bosch goes to Michael Connelly Bosch books around Los Angeles.
We have been wanting to discuss the MCU more.
Yeah, the Michael Connelly universe. All right. Sean, we have some real reader mail. Do I play the drop again? I think yes.
This is Round Ball Rock Reader Mail. Communications from listeners. Why do we call it Reader Mail? It is confusing for robots.
Our first question comes from our friend John L. Sean. And he asked, are the Lakers playing this way this season because now they don't have to worry about Jason Kidd replacing?
Here's the thing. I don't think LeBron would really mind if Jason Kidd was the coach.
I don't either.
I kind of assume that's why Jason Kidd became an assistant coach for the Lakers in the first place. However, I do think they're playing this way this season because they want Frank Vogel to be
David
replaced.
David Fizdale to be their coach.
I mean, it's some chatter I've heard, I guess. Frank Vogel hasn't won a title in nearly 14 months, Joey. And he's definitely responsible for the way the team's playing. You know what I mean?
For sure.
You know, one thing he did that's been very controversial is...
What's up, Lakers fans?
Anyway, keep going.
One thing that's been very controversial is he's been starting players that LeBron James and Anthony Davis demanded he sign. So... that's been brutal. Avery Bradley's been extremely bad. And
I mean, he's also definitely the one that's making Anthony Davis just like lackadaisically shoot threes instead of like going to the hoop or dribbling too, right?
Definitely. And he's making he's making LeBron hang back and you know, just chat with officials so that the team plays 4-on-5 on defense.
And he also exposed LeBron James to COVID, for sure.
Yeah, that's true. Something's fishy. Amazing.
What's up, Lakers fans? Coach?
I hope when they fire him in 2 weeks, he makes a video where he goes, goodbye, Lakers fans. All right.
I'm surprised his hair isn't completely gray yet.
Sean, our next question comes from our friend L. Halfnarrow, who asks, P.T. Barnum's mansion was called Iranistan. Sean and Joey, what would you name your...
I'm just going to say, that's a weird name, mm-hmm. P.T. Barnum.
Well, weird
like,
guy.
Is that racist?
Weird bad guy.
Greatest show on earth, right?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, definitely.
Do you know what P.T. Barnuming is, Joey?
No.
It's like, okay, well, it's this technique that you'll see television psychics do a lot, where you just start asking a bunch of questions really quickly, and then when you see someone like smile or nod, that's the one you zero in on. Mm-hmm. And it's a good way to be a huckster.
Yeah, because he was a huckster.
So I answered this question in the Discord, and I said Sadagascar, because it had a country name. But you give me yours, and I'll think of a different one, because I want to give up. I don't want to repeat my, yeah.
I think this says a lot about me, but I don't really like naming things. Like, I had a hard time naming this podcast.
Have you ever named a car?
No, absolutely not.
I always let children do it. So officially my car is named Baby Beluga. Mm-hmm. And when I drove a Volkswagen at first, I was like, oh, I'm going to call it the Commissar. And then I never did. I just announced that was the name and then never used it. I just thought it was funny because the Commissar.
Yeah. Remained. No, that is funny.
But I still didn't use it. But as a child, all my cars had names. I just didn't name them.
So,
all right, but you prefer an estate.
I just don't. Why would you even name your estate?
Because it's an estate. You name your estates.
Yeah, but why?
That's what one does. Because you have to refer to it as like, you know, it's like the Summer Palace or Monticello or Mount Vernon. Can I think of any?
All right,
other states?
Boshiwood. That's what
Boshiwood. That's not bad.
After my hero, Detective Harry Bosch, and his hometown, Hollywood, California. I'd name it. Dupars has the best pancakes in the world. Harry Bosch.
No, whoa, like don't give the podcast away yet, Joey. Save it for the Patreons.
Well, I was saying it was a quote like from Harry Bosch. I should have said, quote, Dupars has the best pancakes in the world, unquote. Detective Harry Bosch, 1986 to 2021.
I think I would name it after the funniest named co-op from Cal when I was there, mm-hmm. which was Casa Zimbabwe. Which translates to House of Stone. I'd make the entire thing wood. Yeah.
The only name I've ever been like truly proud of, well, two. My dog is, of course, named Corn Pop after the mm-hmm. man who tried to murder Joe Biden.
With a chain.
Yeah, with the man who tried to chain fight Joe Biden.
The toughest man in Wilmington.
Yeah. Very proud of that name. And I came up with a DJ name once that I never got to use. I was gonna DJ at a radio station, and I just never. And it ended up falling through. But I was gonna DJ under the name Dr. Spin Medicine Woman.
That's pretty good. Okay, I think I decided I have a different name that I want to have for my home. It's the Conseco Field House.
All right,
that was
Sean,
a good question.
Our friend Dave Mulhern asks, is Chris Paul more of a John Taffer or a Gordon Ramsay?
See, I will defer to you on this one because I have seen a fair amount of Kitchen Nightmares, but not really that much Bar Rescue. Okay. Despite constantly going to the Patriot House in San Francisco, which was Bar Rescued.
Yeah, a bar he ruined.
Yeah, I mean, it's a rescue bar. It's a lot. It's like it's not as predictable as a normal bar. But sometimes I'm like, this bar rescued me, you know.
So for those of you that don't know, John Taffer is a Jabba the Hutt man who wears a mock turtleneck. Who screams at bar owners. He claims he invented the butt funnel. He was anti unemployment during the pandemic. He's from Las Vegas. And he quote unquote rescues bars. You know, the easiest business in the world to run if you don't let people steal from you. That's all. And
I mean, that's pretty much what he does. Is he's like, hey guys, no one's allowed to be drunk at work all the time. And usually the first episode has a lot of resignations where people are like, what?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
The butt funnel he invented, by the way, is not like a butt chugging thing.
It's something
that happens on a dance floor where it gets narrow, so people have to turn and stare at each other when are walking by each other, so then it makes them dance or something.
It feels really gross. Every time he says it, I hate it so much.
And then Gordon Ramsay is he's from Kitchen Nightmares. He's a Michelin-starred chef. He's Marco Pierre White, but uncancelable because he's actually a nice person. Wouldn't you say that's fair?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I am a fan of MasterChef Junior, mm-hmm. where he's like mostly just like a very nice dad. Although sometimes he will tell like an 8-year old that something they've made is a dog's dinner and like throw it 100 feet. But also, Gordon Ramsay seems like he has significantly more accomplishments.
Mm-hmm. Then John Taffer for sure. So I think this changes based on where Chris Paul is. Like, I think in Phoenix and Oklahoma, he's been a Gordon Ramsay.
I think that's completely right.
But I think in Los Angeles and New Orleans, he was a John Taffer.
I mean, I can't speak for New Orleans, but I think for the Clippers, definitely, where he's like, no, guys, I understand what you're doing. Because one thing that will happen in Bar Rescue is the bars do not turn out very unique, Joey. Mm-hmm.
No. In fact, the like flair he tries to add to make them unique are like the chintziest things in the world. Like there's one bar, I think it was in Sunnyvale, he redid. And he was like, Sunnyvale, that's like San Francisco, right? This is going to be called the Top of the Tower or something like that. And it was like, he just put TVs on all the walls that made you feel like you were, and it was just like a normal dive bar, right? With no windows, but the TVs like played like skylines of San Francisco. So like from the top of like the Transamerica Pyramid or something.
That's so stupid. And Sunnyvale for our listeners outside of California, a good hour drive from San Francisco.
He also once I saw him rescue a bar that was quote unquote haunted, and the one thing he put in it that this I kind of liked actually. He like called it a ghost bar or whatever, and it was like spooky themed. The bartender had a button that they could push under the bar that would pop out two books. The books were spring loaded on a bookshelf. Like next to the bar, so they could say like the ghost did it. But also, that's the sort of thing that they put in a restaurant. It breaks in 2 weeks, and then no one ever fixes it.
Yeah, exactly. Like they're like, oh well, that sucked that we had to fix that.
But yeah, I would say currently, I mean, my joke answer is Gordon Ramsay has a Michelin star, which is a chef's version of winning a championship, so Chris Paul could never be him. But I think now he's a Gordon Ramsay for sure.
I think he's always been more of a.
That was the Clippers was some real Taffer shit, man. All right, the El Hefnero also asked us, what NBA player would you most want to read a book review from, and what book?
Okay, so this is not my direct answer to this question, but I am currently reading a book called True Believer, The Rise and Fall of Stan Lee, a fairly critical Stan Lee biography, a third of the way in.
Yeah.
And I would like the Lopez twins to review that.
Well, I mean, we could maybe make that happen.
Yeah, actually, that's not, it's within our grasp. Okay, so one of my answers is I would like LeBron to review a single one of those books he pretended to read.
Sean, that was going to be my answer. That's just the answer.
Oh, damn it.
That's just the answer.
That's the answer.
That's our official Roundball Rock answer.
He doesn't even have to book review. Just tell me what happened. Anything that happens in the final third of the book. Final half of the book. Remember when he was reading the autobiography of Malcolm X?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He probably thinks Malcolm X is still alive.
All right, and finally, because we had a Thanksgiving episode that went up a week late because I'm an idiot that I thought I'd put it up, and it turns out I hadn't. Our friend Hannes asked a food-related question. Which player is the best at making their country's traditional dishes? I was thinking about Clint Capella and Thabo Sefolosha and who's making the best fondue. I'm going to tell you right now, Thabo makes better fondue, but Clint Capella makes better meatballs. Sean, which player's the best at making their country's traditional dishes?
Well, this is a good point. I'm actually going to Wikipedia here because I want to see who's like, I don't always know who's from each country. Mm-hmm. Hold on. Is this a list?
I'll answer one right now. I have an easy answer for this one. I would like to try Maxi Cleaver.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's right. I think of all, I would like to, I feel like if I was getting anything, I would like, of all the Argentine players in the NBA, I think Pablo Prigioni makes the best empanadas.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
For the Australians, like, what is traditional food in Australia? Like,
shrimp on the Barbie.
I'm trying to think who I would, I think of all the Australian players, I would probably trust Patty Mills the most.
Disagree. Oh, wait, hold on. I forgot. Never mind. Steven Adams is from New Zealand.
He is from New Zealand, yes. Yeah, Aaron Baines is from both.
Well, I'm definitely trusting Steven Adams cooking over Aaron Baines' if we're counting him from New Zealand as well.
He counts.
Steven Adams, that dude had 17 brothers and sisters. He had to learn to cook for himself real early if he was good.
Oh, you're right. Yeah. Anyway, I would say of players from the Bahamas, I'm gonna say I think cracked conch is the most classic meal, and I think I would go with Michael Thompson. I think Michael Thompson can make tasty food.
Okay, all right.
Okay, Brazil. Who are you trusting to make Brazilian food?
Oh, I mean, Nene.
I think he's the answer. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I think that's the right answer. I would trust Bruno Caboclo to make me like ramen.
I would trust Cristiano Felicio to cook me. Not trusting Thiago Splitter, not trusting Raul Neto, not trusting DJ Bruno Caboclo. Definitely not trusting Anderson Varejão. I think, has like one or two dishes he's pretty good at.
Yeah, exactly. He's got not a lot, but if he cooks for you once, I bet it's really good.
Yeah.
Okay. What would you say is like a Canadian food?
Poutine, baby.
Oh, you're right. Okay, so who's making poutine with your Canadian players?
You know what? I'm going Delano Banton.
Wow.
I also think, I bet Corey Joseph makes a pretty good poutine.
I was thinking Corey Joseph might be my dude.
Yeah.
with poutine especially. And then I actually think maybe not with a traditional poutine, but I bet Bill Wennington makes a fucking delicious meatloaf.
Mm-hmm. I bet Dwight Powell burns everything.
I think he's like knocking over wooden spoons sometimes. Yeah. I'm sorry, guys. I don't know what traditional Croatian food is.
Well, I'm sure Coach Dave Dufour.
He could probably answer that phone. And I think, well, I think I'd go with, I think I would go with Mario Hezonja with low expectations, but I think it would be crazy. Just feel like it would be like some weird spices. I don't feel like there's a great answer with the Croatian players available.
Well I'm telling you right now. Maybe. I'm telling you right now.
He's into foot.
Sauerkraut stew is one of as a traditional Croatian dish. And
I need that.
Of course, it's probably delicious. But I think Bojan can cook, man.
Oh yeah? Okay.
Yeah, I think Bojan Bogdanovic can make you some sauerkraut stew.
Uh-huh.
He's a wily vet, you know. He looks like he eats.
Yeah, I'm right. What,
I mean,
not
Dino
Boston,
Raja
right?
Also.
He's not Croatian, right?
I am.
Oh, he is. Oh, he is. Bojan is.
I'm sorry. Croatian NBA players.
You're right. Bojan is. Yeah. I'm sorry. I confused my Bogdanoviches.
I'm not trusting Bogdan to cook me anything, but Bojan.
Yeah,
I think Bojan would be a good cook.
I think Bojan would be too. Czech dishes. I would like to try Jan Veselý's baked mincemeat. And I bet Tomáš Satoranský makes a good sandwich. Congolese players, it's Mutombo. Mutombo, I bet Mutombo's a great cook.
Yeah, probably.
Dominican Republic, I gotta say, I think Al Horford's your dude. Like, don't you think he's a good cook?
No, I don't. Look,
I mean, I'm not picking towns.
No. I just think Al Horford, here's the thing, Sean. He's lived with his sister in every single city he's lived in.
Yep. Okay. Yeah.
He's really, really handsome. Like, I just feel like he's the guy that makes women cook food for him. He just seems like that kind of guy.
So yeah, the opposite of that, I'm gonna say, is Charlie Villanueva.
No. There's an obvious answer here for me, and he's a new guy.
Chris Duarte.
Look, he went to junior college. He had to learn to cook for himself.
Okay,
you know
so
what I mean?
So like, Chris Duarte's pollo guisado.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I bet that's delicious, dude.
Actually, that sounds great. there's not enough Finnish players. It's very weird that Wikipedia credits Drew Gooden with Finnish heritage. Oh, his mom is Finnish. I did not know that. Okay. Delicious cuisine, French player. I think there's an obvious answer.
Dude. It's Goran Dragic. I mean, not Goran. It's why did I say Goran? It's Boris Diaw.
It's Boris Diaw. Yeah. And like literally anything.
Easily.
If you told me that he'd been to Cordon Bleu, I'd be like, mm-hmm. Yeah, he could have done that in the offseason.
I also bet Gershon Yabusele also really knows how to eat. At least he knows where to eat.
Michael Pietrus, I'm not touching a thing from that kitchen.
Nope.
Joachim Noah, no thank you.
Evan Fournier, no thanks.
No way.
Tony Parker.
I'm kind of into it, actually.
Tony Parker has a kitchen that has never been used.
Not once.
Yeah, it's like, and it has like a $2 million stove in it. I bet Gobert can cook, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think he probably can. I mean, not a lot of things, yeah. But the things he makes are pretty good.
TLC definitely is a good cook, I bet.
All right, who's for schnitzel? You want
Maxi Kleber, baby?
Maxi Kleber schnitzel. I think that's probably correct.
Over Dirk for sure.
I mean, Dirk can't cook anything. Although Dirk, I will say, did bring leftovers to the arena fairly regularly. Mm-hmm. But yep. I think that's more based on his wife.
Yeah.
All right, British players. Who's gonna make some disgusting trifle for you? I'm not sure if I trust any of these people. John
Amici. Counting?
It's got to be John Amici.
Are we counting Luol Deng?
Yes.
I don't
think Luol Deng. Well, the thing is, he's
Luol
not going to make
Deng.
You British food.
No, but you know what? I bet Luol Deng would make you curry, the most popular food in England.
All right, that's what I want. I want Luol Deng. Ben Gordon, get out of here. I want no part of Byron Mullins is cooking.
Robert Archibald.
No, Joel Freeland. That's the least appetizing country so far.
Michael Olowokandi counts as a British NBA player.
Hey, no thank you for that one either. For Greece, I actually think Costa Koufos is pretty handy in the kitchen.
Yeah, I mean, like, I love Giannis, but he's eaten out a lot. We know this.
Yeah. I mean,
there
also
are so
just
many Giannis restaurant and takeout stories.
And like, and just like his delight in really bad carnival food does not make me feel good about his palate. Okay. I'm skipping Ireland. I think I'm skipping Israel too. There's not really Italy though.
I mean,
here's the thing. Does Mike D count?
Mike D'Antoni?
Yeah.
No.
I don't think he does either.
I also don't think he cooks. I think he was so famous and so sexy as a player in
Italy that he just
ate at restaurants all the time. Like, he ate for free everywhere he went and drank tiny espressos with, like, fancy 1970s sunglasses on.
And he was like, hey, give me one of those espressos. God, I don't even know with Italy. I'm sorry. I don't have an opinion on this one. Because it's not Gallinari, and it's not Bargnani, and it's not Archidiacono,
and
no one else do I.
It's not Bellinelli.
It's definitely not Bellinelli. Like, I don't think it's Nico Mannion either.
See, but actually, I was going to say, I bet Nico Mannion, because he's one of those Italian-Americans who, like,
oh, he's like,
so
oh, yes.
Proud of their Italian American heritage.
Well, he also has an Italian mom.
Right. I guarantee they do like Sunday gravy and he knows how to make it. You know what I mean?
I bet he can make meatballs, actually.
Yeah. So I think I'm saying Nico Mannion, although looking at this list, it is very weird. Travis Diener is also on this list.
I'm really. Would not have guessed that one. Oh, he is just a he is just playing internationally from Italy. I think that's an Italian grandfather right there.
Okay. All right, I think Spain. That's the last one we have to do, right?
Yeah, we can.
That's
skip
the last that. Big one.
The Lithuania, we're not going to have an opinion on. Oh, I would say for Mexican food. Eduardo Najera, dude.
Yeah,
I think he's great. I bet he makes.
I mean, I love JTA, but Eduardo Najera, baby.
Dutch food is disgusting. I mean, not disgusting, but just like.
There's only one big cuisine that has a lot of players. It's Spain.
Spain.
Give me your Spain answer.
Hold on. And I apologize to the people of Senegal. I just don't know what Senegalese food is like. And, all right, hold on. My Spanish.
This one's an easy answer to me. Spain.
Do you think it's Ricky?
No. Oh, God, no. He's like a child. He's never learned how to cook anything.
I think I'm going to go with Jose Calderon.
Yeah, he has a ham farm.
Yeah, absolutely.
He makes jamón ibérico. But also, I think of the guys still playing, it's Willy Hernan Gomez. Like, I think Marc Gasol could cook you something if you really wanted to, but, like,
yeah.
Willy Hernan Gomez looks like he knows how to make you. He knows that food is the language of love, and he is going to make you something. Juancho, on the other hand, is too busy kissing. They skip dinner, and they're getting mono right away. All right.
I do think Marc Gasol is the most likely to have taken a cooking class, however.
Oh, absolutely.
All right. Well, that was a good question. Good. Thanks, Hans.
Yeah. We did that way longer than I thought we would. All right. Yeah. We've got some reader calls, too, Sean. Yeah. So.
Sean and Joey can't come to the phone right now, but luckily phones are the domains of me, a robot. If you know the extension of Tillman Fertitta, please dial it now. Press 1 to have a single beer with Zach Lowe. Press 2 for Senegal-related inquiries. Press 3 for movie times read by Brooke Lopez. Press 33 to hear problematic things Bill Simmons wrote in the early 2000s. Press 0 at any time to leave a message for Sean and Joey. That's right, you too can leave a message for Sean and Joey, just dial 323-682-0342. Once again, that number is 323-682-0342. Please give me a call. Being a robot is a solitary road.
All right, Sean. Our first call comes from our very good friend. Let's see what the Queen has to say.
Hello, my dears. This is Christine, or Queen Ozymandias. And I have a question for y'all as the NBA's foremost name analyzers. So I've gotten back into football this year, and it's become really apparent to me that football has by far the funniest names in sports. Some of my favorites this year, Cooper Kupp, Nick Chubb, DJ Chark, Henry Ruggs, Chuba Hubbard, fucking Byron Pringle, Jabril Peppers, Rodrigo Blankenship, and my personal favorite, who I'm ordering a jersey for because his number is 69, and his name is fucking Mike McGlinchey. I don't understand why the NFL, like, has across the board the funniest names. I've been thinking about it, like, how it's statistically possible that just across the board you have such bangers, and other sports just don't really stack up. Like, there's some good basketball names. But I was thinking, like, is it because there's so many more people in the NFL, just, like, statistically? Or do guys with funny names become football players because they have funny names, like, to prove something? And so I just wanted to hear your thoughts. I hope that you're having a lovely day. I love you very much. And donate to abortion funds in Texas. Bye.
Absolutely donate to abortion funds in Texas. Thank you, Queen Ozymandias. So, Sean, why do you think football players have funnier names? Is it it's like a chicken and the egg thing, right? Does the name come first, or does football come first and then the name?
It's funny because when we do our bus name podcast, we always sometimes find that people have a football ass name.
Quote, but unquote, football ass name. Yeah.
Now they have.
I've trademarked that, by the way.
Yeah. I think that some of it is that you get, like, college basketball also has excellent names for the most part, but the difference is in football, it's just a much bigger roster. So a lot of the classic names still make it through. Like, this guy did not make an NFL roster. I was hoping he would be on the 49ers, but Ha Ha Clinton Dix. Mm-hmm. Like that would, you'd get a note from a studio if you tried to name, like, a character in a film that. I also would like to shout out our friend, Prince Amukamara. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's not really our friend, but we do know his wife.
We do? Oh yeah, we do. All right. Anyway.
but I also think that sometimes because you hear the name so much, you forget how silly they are. Mm-hmm. Like Tiki Barber. Mm-hmm. That is a crazy name. But he's been around so much. Plaxico Burress. Mm-hmm. That name was incredible. I'm trying to think of a
but
couple.
But Sean, is there something about having a crazy name that makes you be more likely to be a football player?
Yeah,
upbringing? Is it, what is it?
I think if you, okay, imagine you're growing up. Mm-hmm. You've got to go through public school, and you know, you're a good athlete, but you might not have a mean streak. But then your parents name you Barcavius Mingo. Mm-hmm. Like you get a little fighting instinct out of that, I think. Right? I mean, I feel like it's almost like a boy named Sue.
But I also think when it comes to quarterbacks who also have very specific sounding names.
Yeah.
I think some of that comes into scouting where if a guy's name is like
Colt McCoy.
Yeah, or Cade Cunningham. Like, if Cade Cunningham played football, he would have been drafted, like, a quarterback. He would have been drafted, like, number five.
Well, why do you think Baker Mayfield went number one as a surprise?
I think that there's a little bit of confirmation bias a lot of the times with quarterbacks, where scouts are like, that's a quarterback-ass name.
Well, also, like, okay, say you heard that there was a safety named Lawyer Malloy. Mm-hmm. You'd at least bring him in for a workout.
Right, yeah.
Or, okay, say they're like, huh, who should we take to be our cornerback? Maybe Quentin Jammer? Mm-hmm. That seems like a good guy
and
to have.
I gotta say, the NBA maybe needs a little bit more of this because, like, Shake Milton should have been a first-round pick. You know what I mean? Based on name alone. I think
that might be holding Scottie Barnes back, honestly.
Yeah, because basketball... The difference between basketball names and football names is, like, football names are very American and stupid, just like the NFL, where, like, the 1970s NBA... Basketball names are
they're finally catching up,
but they're cool. Like NBA star name is like cool and slick, right?
So like Walt Frazier,
yeah, like Shake Milton.
Well, there's not really a cool basketball name until Wilt Chamberlain.
Well, yeah,
but that's for because. Football,
well, Oscar Robertson's a good name. Is a cool name.
But,
yeah.
But doesn't Wilt predate him?
Yeah, he does. I'm just saying. I'm trying to think of the old.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah. I think also football names have always been silly, and I think that's like opened the door that you had like Bronco Nagurski in what, like the 30s. I mean, one of the great early NFL stars is named Dick Butkus. Mm-hmm. That name is so funny.
His
name's Dick Butkus.
I also should say here, if we're going to be historians, not to be Ken Burns about this, but I really think you can track the death of baseball by just tracking the list of funny and cool names in the MLB. Because there used to be tons of funny and cool names. Pokey Reese, baby. And now everyone is named Tyler. Every single person in Major League Baseball is named Tyler.
There are identical twins named Taylor and Tyler in baseball right now. That's why Mookie Betts is like has the potential to save baseball in a way that Mike Trout does not.
Yeah, because every single person in the MLB is named Tyler.
All right, but I will say I'm really glad that we got a second Vladimir Guerrero. Incredible, like literally an incredible name. See, all the best baseball names are like weird hybrids, like Yorvit Torrealba. Mm-hmm. What I loved was that at one point in baseball, there were two catchers named Torrealba, and one of them was named Yorvit, and the other one was named Steve. There's a guy in the Packers, by the way, Queen Ozymandias, who is named Equinemius St. Brown.
Mm-hmm. Great name.
Also, is DeBrickashaw Ferguson still playing?
I don't think so. That's
I think he. Oh like no, he's 1999. Been out for a while. Sorry, Jesus.
All right. Come on. Here we got another call from someone in Portland. Hey, if you call, remember to say your name.
No, he's saying he says his name.
Oh, we just can't understand it. All right.
Yeah, yeah. Go ahead.
I think it's Mike. I think this is probably a call from Mike. All right. Okay. But anyway, here we go.
Hey, this is Nick. I just this
no, one. It's Nick. All right, thank you, Nick. Here's a call from Nick.
Hey, this is Nick. I just did some investigative Googling after scorching, just shocking headline of Trailblazers criminal behavior, and yeah, they currently have an assistant coach, Milch Pacio, something like that, suspended because he was involved in the insurance fraud, and I just kind of needed to. Emphasize that because the Trailblazers recently sold their naming rights to their arena from Rose Garden to Moda Health for a whopping $4 million a year, so about a, you know, vet minimum-ish. And, you know, Moda Health sells insurance to city and government employees. So, you know, we're still pretty much subsidizing, well, means the, you know, public. So just real important stuff that the Trailblazers are still the Jailblazers.
You know what, Nick? Other than us not being able to understand your name for some reason, even though I heard it and it was clearly Nick when we first listened to it, that is a perfect call. Thank you, Nick. Milt Palacio, the Trailblazers are still the Jailblazers. Thank you so much, Nick. Great call, well, right?
This is a much bigger deal than like people smoking weed occasionally. This is corporate crime.
Yeah.
But it's not. I'm actually kind of more offended by Moda Health, I gotta say.
Yep, same here. All right. And then do we want to play this last call? I think we need to go to the news. No, news.
The other one's going to be later.
We'll hear from Radio Nathan later. All right.
I'm excited for when we do play it, though.
Sean, let's talk about what everyone wants us to talk about. But weirdly, I have less to say than you'd think.
This is Round Ball Rock News. Basketball news. For humans and robots. Trust the process.
Sean, Enes Kanter changed his name to Enes Kanter Freedom and then immediately went on Tucker Carlson.
Yep.
Yeah, he did. He also became an American citizen. And he's also a CIA asset. Sean, my first question for you is, do you plan on writing a song about Enes Kanter Freedom that is the Doobie Brothers' Sweet Freedom? But it's Enes Freedom, blah, 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 blah.
I don't think I know that.
Wage a war with China. Anyway.
Well, Joey, not to give you a sneak preview, I wrote a medley about Enes Kanter.
Oh, great.
And it's called, should I tell you or should we wait?
No, I want to hear it.
It's a sublime medley and it's called 40 Ounces to Enes Kanter Freedom.
Great.
It's four songs, Joey.
Sean, what do you have to say about Enes Kanter changing his name to Enes Kanter Freedom?
Here's what I'll say. I was right about this fucking guy the whole time. There are people who said he was cool and like, oh, he's such a hero. He's standing up to Turkey. It's like, first of all, okay, so Enes Kanter's dude in Turkey, just so you know, he's a Gulenist. I might not be saying that right.
Mm-hmm.
But this is this guy who's this like thought leader, cult leader, whatever. I'm not even going to editorialize about it. But what this guy did was he legitimized Erdogan, and then they had this big purge and a bunch of show trials to get rid of all the leftists in Turkey.
Mm-hmm. So he,
I mean, that's a simplification.
Well, you know what that sounds like.
But this was just Erdogan's buddy.
But you know what that sounds like, Sean? The CIA. That is also what the CIA does.
That is what the CIA does. Yeah, exactly. And so Kanter, because people have no idea what's going on, or like, this guy's a freedom fighter, even though really he's just like, I don't know, this is like supporting Lindsey Graham, but Donald Trump got mad at him. Mm-hmm. You know, something like that. They're on the same team. They just split up. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, okay, your authoritarian fascist lost out to a bigger authoritarian fascist. That doesn't make you a hero. And just like, look, man, this guy sucks. He sucks at basketball. He's a shitty dude. He spent like years trying to provoke LeBron James into fighting him on the court. And then he just like took some shots at him on Twitter. And it was so clearly about to be a pivot to right wing media. Like, like this was telegraphed for so long. Okay, Enes Kanter tried to make a name for himself by criticizing LeBron James. Like, get in fucking line, dude.
Uh-huh.
Isn't that like Laura Ingraham's done that? I'm sure Sean Hannity's done it. Mm-hmm. Donald Trump did it. Like, there was a long
Adrian Wojnarowski did it.
there was a long line.
And he was there first. Woj was there first.
Get off Woj's corner, Tucker Carlson.
Speaking of Woj, by the way, we got a little bit of criticism for going so hard at Chris Haynes the other day, and I just want to all of those guys are bad. I just wanted to make fun of Chris Haynes in the moment. They're all bad.
For the record, Chris Haynes is just a funnier Access journalist because for whatever reason, he has described meals many times in detail in a way that is not not like revealing that he was just there.
Yeah.
And it is just a weird quirk that he has. But I mean, Bob Woodward, author of All the President's Men, also has hilarious quirks like that where you're like, are you really just pretending that? Once again, I read the Trump book and all the Lindsey Graham sections are hilarious because it's like Graham knew that he needed a relationship with Trump, so he flattered him, buttered him up. You're like, gosh, who could his source have been for this? Steve Bannon had a long-range plan.
It was Ennis Freedom. That was his source.
Ennis Freedom. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Anyway,
so
Access journalism is bad. Shams is the worst one of those people. We'll go after Shams again. We've done it many times. Anyway.
All right, his stuff this week. Yeah, by the way, Shams said this week that Kyrie's not going to get vaccinated. He won't play again until he's traded. It's a great, great job. An anonymous source told him, though. who could guess where that information is coming from? Could be from anywhere, dude.
Anyway.
Okay, so here's what Ennis Cantor said.
The first thing he's done here, by the way, before, like, this is fucking Toby Keith shit. Like,
Changing your name to Freedom?
Yeah, but like even before that, where he's like setting it up, he's like, yeah, I'm going to be the China guy. I'm going to tweet at like Xi Jinping and make the worst shoes. And like, oh, I have a problem with the NBA's relationship with China. Like,
hey, Phil Knight, founder of Nike, you got to chill out. By the way, who do you think Ennis Cantor had a shoe deal with from like age 16 on? It's fucking Nike. Sorry, your shoe company dropped you, dude. But you can't have been a sponsored Nike athlete for 10 years and be like, how dare you, sir, supporting Nike, who I had a shoe with until 2018.
Anyway, I did not realize we were going to get an Ethan Strauss that played in the NBA, but here we are.
Oh, yeah, the Substack's next.
Ennis Cantor. Ennis Freedom. I don't want to dead name him.
Yeah, we can't dead name him.
That sucks. Ennis Freedom, like, we know who you are. Like, he dates a Rockefeller.
There are many pictures of him with the Clintons, with John Bolton, and you know who his personal friend is? Jared Kushner. Like Adam Silver.
If the Lolita Express were still running, Ennis Freedom, that would be his name on the flight logs now. Because been on that plane. on the Epstein plane if it was still going. We know who you are, Ennis.
Hey, Jeffrey Epstein, also a CIA asset. Right? So yeah, they would have hung out. He's dating a Rockefeller. Does he really think the best way to affect change is to tweet at LeBron James, but then not talk to LeBron when they pass each other on the basketball court in the tunnel? But here's the thing, like, this would have a lot more weight if Ennis Cantor hadn't spent years trying to get LeBron to fight him.
Mm-hmm.
And LeBron just brushed him off like, this guy sucks. Like, why would I be going after this bench center? Like, he tried to take on LeBron when LeBron said that Dennis Smith Jr. got drafted too low. And he decided that was an insult to Frankie Smokes. Mm-hmm. And like, he'd been on that team for like 2 months when that happened. And it's just like, he's a clown, dude. I don't care if his politics are good or bad. He is inherently clownish.
Uh-huh. Yep.
But also now, you know, a right-wing CIA stooge. So congratulations, Ennis Cantor. Congratulations, Portland Trailblazers, for having him twice.
Congratulations, the Boston Celtics, for having him now.
Nice too, right? Yeah. Isn't this his second going? Okay.
But also, let's just talk a minute about the, like, he was wearing shoes that had him, like, dunking on, like, Xi Jinping, right? And, like, if LeBron James wore shoes of himself with a cartoon of himself dunking on, like, fucking Boris, right? Like, Boris Johnson, the Fox News would go insane. They'd be right. Like, he's an ally! How dare you!
I mean, it is, like, the dumbest thing in the world. And also, it's just like, look, man, there is a dedicated percentage of people who apparently want the United States to go to war with China. Mm-hmm. And that's what Enes Kanter seems to be also wanting them to do.
Okay, here's what I gotta say. CIA, get a better athlete.
Yeah.
This is low-rent shit, man.
Well, here's the thing. We're talking about these things. And we're like, criticizing him. He was very clear what his real agenda is when he went on Tucker Carlson show. Mm-hmm. Not just from going on Tucker Carlson, but here's what he said. He said, people should feel really blessed to be in America. They love to criticize it, but when you live in a country like Turkey, you appreciate the freedoms you have here. I feel like they should just keep their mouths shut and stop criticizing the greatest nation in the world, and they should focus on their freedoms and their human rights and democracy. So again, Enes Kanter, actually just kind of racist. I mean, isn't that what he's saying? He's saying,
yeah, that's like an Andrew Bogut quote.
It's an Andrew Bogut quote. He's basically saying my teammates, like, oh, Jaylen Brown, perhaps, should shut up. And that, you know, police violence isn't a big deal because it's not like your favorite cult leader had to move out of his country after a coup.
Mm-hmm. Also,
those are similar things.
Enes Kanter,
it's a dog
maybe
whistle,
acknowledge
man.
Armenian genocide first. All right.
Yeah,
Zion Williamson was cleared for practice today.
That is so great, dude.
It's such great news. I'm glad his dew break is over.
Every time you see him in that Mountain Dew commercial, he just, like, he looks bigger to me. And, like, I just think, like, oh, he's still on that couch, dude. He's still on that couch drinking Mountain Dew, getting ready. But I'm glad he's back. He's very exciting. I'm glad to see him. Congratulations, Zion.
All right. The Suns have won 18 games in a row, Sean, by beating our Golden State Warriors. But
congratulations, Delamuca. Okay, we said it.
The rubber match is tonight. I think I'm going to have this up in time for that. So let's get ready. Look, Damian Lee is back, baby. All right.
He named his baby the middle name Wardell.
Yeah.
And that's so the Warriors don't cut him. But also, is he taking sides in that divorce, Joey?
That's what I said when I heard that he named his baby Wardell. So I was like, oh man, that mom must have done something bad. All right,
she's living with her boyfriend. Shouldn't have done that.
The Suns had a no loss November, Sean.
Yeah.
This is the 11th longest win streak in NBA history.
It's pretty impressive, I got to say.
Devin Booker injured his hamstring.
Was he riding a bike?
No, he was playing.
He was playing against the Warriors.
He was playing against Kevon Looney.
I don't know why I'm still talking about Devin Booker like it's 2 years ago.
Yeah, he's good now.
Yeah, he's great.
We're actually a pro Devin Booker podcast now, I think.
We're like a pro Suns podcast, yeah. Honestly. Like
well,
a lot
no,
of people resent
that
to Chris Paul, but
well,
but
I'm just Sarver's a bad
oh,
guy.
Oh, right. I forgot about that guy. Oh, yeah.
But that was going to be my question. Is it weird that they've won 18 games in a row, like, and it seems to have started with Robert Sarver being canceled?
I mean, it kind of has a precedent. Like, the Clippers kind of caught fire after the original Donald Sterling allegations, right?
I mean, they beat the Warriors in a seven game series, right? In game six. I don't know. They immediately lost, though, in the second round.
Yeah. I mean, I think somebody got hurt and probably it was Chris Paul. I don't remember offhand, but who knows those kind of things?
Sean, do you think they can beat that Rockets record?
No, I think they'll probably... what's the Rockets record? 29? 27?
I think it's less. I think it's 22, right?
Well, I know it's... Well, I think the Heat won something like that, too. I mean, the Warriors had at least 24, and then sometimes they get credited for the last four games they won in 2015.
That doesn't count. No.
That doesn't really count. I mean, come on.
It's 33 by the Lakers in 72. I was wrong about it being the Rockets. The Rockets had 22. The Heat had 27. And the Warriors, they claim, had 28 because it's 4 plus 24, but that does not count.
Real. That's not real. No, Chris Paul just blew that next series in 2014, Joey, because he tried to get a 3-point foul on that game.
But I'm
going to go out on a limb and say they will lose one of their next 15 games.
Will they get to 22?
No, I think no disrespect to the Suns, but I think they're losing on Friday night to the Warriors.
Tonight.
And if not, I mean, I'll do something as a tribute to the Suns next episode if they don't. But I'll also make a prediction here. I think they're winning on Christmas Day against the Warriors too.
Okay, I like it. I don't make predictions.
We don't get out on limbs enough on this show. We're bringing the heat tonight.
All right, our next story, Sean, is Zion Williamson's return to practice was delayed by at least a week. His foot is sore.
Damn it, Joey. But he'll be back in 7 days, right? No reason to expect the Pelicans would be less than forthcoming about an injury timeline.
And then finally, we should probably talk about this one.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Michael Porter Jr. is out for the year. No, that's not what I want to talk about. We'll talk about that one later.
That's enough for the story. But Joey, how do you think Michael Porter Jr. is going to spend his time having this back injury? Oh, yeah.
Grifting.
I think he's gonna go further than just the video games. Like, I think he might actually start like a 3-card Monty game.
No, I think he's gonna start like some kind of anti-vax, just asking questions like lifestyle brand.
What if he's like just a Twitch streamer who's just constantly yelling anti-vax facts? And it's like, it starts to take over his life. And they're like, "Are you rehabbing?" And he's like, "I can't miss a day on the stream."
All right. The one thing, there was actual news. I forgot. Yeah. The Heat and Bulls both lost a second round pick for tampering. With signing Kyle Lowry and Lonzo Ball.
So the funniest thing about this punishment is, I don't think there's two teams in the league that have traded more future second round picks recently than these teams. So the Bulls penalty, they will apparently lose their 2026 second round pick when all of the contracts will have already expired. And the Heat have traded somebody that they're not going to lose their second round pick till 2028, which is like, that's like nothing. Is there even going to be a league at that point? Like global warming's pretty bad.
Sean, speaking of global warming, I wanted to ask you a question about... have you heard of Paolo Banchero yet?
Yes, I watched the Gonzaga Duke game.
Okay, so Paolo Banchero, for those of you that only follow the NBA like me, is a NBA player. I mean, is going to be the number one pick in the draft. He plays for Duke. He's very good. But did you see this story about him where he loses 7 pounds of sweat every game?
What?
Yeah. He loses 7 pounds of sweat every game.
That's pretty weird.
Really weird.
Why? Now, you know who was like that was Tim Lincecum, which is why he would the Giants would go on the road and like force him to eat In-N-Out Burger. Because he had a terrible diet, but he'd eat like In-N-Out because they'd go to the Midwest and Lincecum would lose like 10 pounds during his start. I do not understand it. But yeah, it looks like it looks like he is going to be the number one pick.
Yeah, he's really good. He also has missed several quarters due to cramping. And you know why that is, Sean?
Because he's losing 7 pounds a game?
No, because Beto O'Rourke has been fucking him during the games. All right, I want to be honest, I only brought up that story so I could tell that joke. All right, Sean.
Really got me, dude.
Sean, that's our episode. Do you have anything you want to plug?
Yeah, I'll be, okay, so I have a Zoom show on Tuesday, December 7th. Should be good, called Self-Care Comedy. I'll be putting links to it on my social media. But yeah, there's Zoom shows. They're just kind of fun. I because of the sort of lack of live shows, I tend to do a lot of new material every month. So I'm going to tell some stories this time, including an oldie but a goodie that didn't go on the album, about a special New Year's Eve trip to McDonald's that I made with Joey and our other friend. And also on December 14th, which is a Tuesday, there's an all-star show at the Punchline in San Francisco. I'll be headlining that show.
Ooh, and Sean Keane headliner.
Headlining. But also, if you want to go to the show and you're in the Bay Area, hit me up on Twitter, because I should have some guest lists for that one.
And then as for me, listen to me on Who Cares About the Rock Hall this week. I talked about the Rolling Stone 500 song list that changed. Love talking to Joe and Kristen. And you can always follow me on Twitter at Frankie Muniz, where 5 days ago I tweeted, if this is what my back feels like at 36, 50 plus is gonna suck.
It's not wrong.
Sean wrote a song, several songs, 4 songs about Enes Kanter Freedom, called 40 Ounces to Enter Enes Kanter Freedom, and that's playing right now. Mm-hmm. Trust the process.
Trust the process.
And shut it down. Let's all lose 7 pounds of sweat, baby.
Gross.
I don't practice in the arena. They don't let me shoot the ball. I should be out of the league, but I'm 7 feet tall. If I could find that Josiah, he owns the Brooklyn Nets. Well, first I'd ask if they could use a Turkish vet. Where I really wanna go, it's China. My political beliefs I can't define. Well, it's attention I need. Oh, my soul is in Turkey. Rising up to tweet, lighting up Americans about Nikes on their feet. Got to find a reason to slam LeBron. Got to find a way to escape racist Erdogan. I got some black teammates, I think they should shut up. I couldn't stop a sixth grader from taking it to the cup. Life is too short, so date a Rockefeller. Cause if I play for your team, you're gonna be in the cellar. Only fight online, cause I gotta grow a pair. Once I broke my arm from punching a chair. I'm a scholar, here's my personal philosophy. Taking money, giving to the Republican Party. I hand lose what I got. The CIA steps right out. They're the ones who got JFK shot. A CIA job, it's what I got. I said, remember that. A CIA job, it's what I got. Ennis is a dork, fought with Cleveland in New York, but he couldn't get a reaction from LeBron James. He tried to take a poke while defending Frankie Smokes. His tough guy's act is a joke towards LeBron James. Portland gave him an offer sheet, then he tried to beat up a padded seat. I know John Bolton is still his good friend. He's gonna get a subsec and it's never gonna end. When they finally put in me, I get called for 3 seconds in the key. I'm an elbower and a pusher, like Adam Silver, friends with Jared Kushner. 2013 cool. Tell me, are you a ghoulinist? Are you a ghoulinist too? Ain't got no shoe deal no more. Play defense like a toreador. I'm such a chump. Won't somebody introduce me to Trump?
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.